charges and comes right through there.
John is on the phone with his father.
He opened it. He leave the door open just because he's gonna come. He can't open it from that side.
Seven, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Guys, so listen up. Listen up, guys. There's a Jaguar Swami who's a very senior devotee. He's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he's been studying the Vedas, studying Bhagavad Gita, and dedicating surrender his life to Krishna for a very long time. He has a lot of knowledge. So first, everyone, please control your tongues, sit nicely, and listen, because it's a very rare opportunity. You guys are getting a very good opportunity to learn something today. So if you have any questions at the end, I'm sure he will be, I don't know how he's going to have it, if he wants questions and answers, or he's just going to talk about something that you guys can do.
Haribol again.
Haribol.
Well, already at the statistical level, the identification of only complexions as states of equal probability implies that an ideal Bose gas would have a tendency to have two particles in the same phase cell more often than in the case of classical gas in which the particles are distinguishable. Any questions?
Well, I just heard that, I was doing something and I heard that, and I said, wow, how is Maharaj? I didn't see you reading. Wow, Maharaj is into this till now. And then I saw you reading. It really shocked me too.
I have to get fun somehow. Hey, looks like a good tour. You guys from all over, or only from Alachua?
Mostly Alachua. A couple of kids from D.C.
Raise your hand if you're from D.C.
Wow.
Raise your hand if you're from Dallas. Raise your hand if you're from New Taliban.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you're from Alachua.
Limo.
And raise your hand if you're from Miami.
Okay.
We have our youngest boy here, Juan. He's 10 years old.
10 años.
Well, this one. This one.
Arriba.
And our oldest is Didi, which is, he's 19.
An old man.
So we have a big range there.
Okay. So what's your program? What are you doing? Traveling.
We're traveling. Right now we're focusing on the West Coast. This is the first time that we're taking the boys separate from Ratatoja Swami, because he stopped doing it 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So following his legacy, we continued the summer trips because he stopped doing it because of his.
But family. You've been doing it for many years.
6 years.
So, yeah. But this is the first time you're coming to the West Coast.
West Coast, first time.
Got it.
And how'd you guys like L.A.?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. First time catching the waves and L.A. Like
the yeah, it's like do two things at once. You catch the waves and see Lord Jagannath.
Yeah.
So they see the rat and sell bananas. There's a banana seller, so he figures he'll go to the Ratha Yatra, because that way he'll see the Lord Jagannath and he'll sell his bananas also.
So. Oh, in L.A.? Or
no, it's a saying.
Oh, okay.
It's like we say kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nasty thing to say. But to see the Ratha and sell bananas. So the banana seller, he goes to the Ratha Yatra and sees Lord Jagannath. And he sells his bananas because there's so many people. So it's another way of saying do two things at once. So you caught the waves and sold Lord Jagannath. Good. How much longer are you going around?
This is our last week. We'll be back in Alachua Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So we're dropping some of the kids off in Dallas on Wednesday.
Wow. Okay, tour is coming to an end. You have how many vans?
We have one bus.
Oh, that yellow school bus. That's
yes,
your bus.
The magic school bus.
The magic school bus. Okay. Looks like a real blast.
Mm-hmm.
Real fun. Good. What would you like me to talk about?
If there's any questions.
Well, I think one thing that Krishnapriya was wanting the boys to hear was the importance of focusing on themselves when they're young and focusing their energy, if it's, you know, yeah, focusing their energy and not getting too distracted by the opposite sex.
Mm.
And Krishnapriya got inspired by one of your talks, so he always talks about it.
Really? Well, there's some very good reasons for not getting distracted by girls, call them what they are. One thing is there's a time for everything. And the Vedic direction is that this time of our life, that is to say when you're young, is the time for really focusing on Krishna consciousness, really focusing on learning, really focusing on character building, really focusing on learning how to live, how to be clean, how to be austere, how to make intelligent decisions, how to understand what is what, how to know what your goal in life is. All that stuff, at this time of your life, it's like the ideal time. Because you've got your full energy, you're not quite, you know, fully, you're not stuck in your ways, you're not like set, and all the stuff that's going to be in there is in there, and that's basically it, and it's going to, you know, your minds are still sponge-like, you know, you can absorb and absorb and absorb. What's this, what's this, what's this, why this, why this, what's, what about that, and everything. So if you focus, if you use your energy now for focusing on Krishna consciousness, on understanding what is Krishna, understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding what is what, and developing your Krishna consciousness, your attraction for Krishna, that you have that for your whole life. You've done like the maximum development in the time that's meant for the maximum development. Then later, say from 25, then you have a choice. The road goes this way or the road goes that way. It goes toward stay with what you've got, stay brahmachari, stay detached, or get into householder life and everything that entails. But that's like, the first thing is, that should just be put off. It's not like you thinking about getting married? Your name is Juan? ¿Quieres casarse ahora? ¿Quieres casarse? Would you like to get married?
Yes.
Yeah? When should we do it? Next week or the week after? You won't get married by that time. So that's my point. We can put this question off for a while. Yeah? Nothing urgent, right? Okay, just checking. That's the first thing. The whole question is just to be put off to the future. Say when you're 25, that's like, you can think about it. While you're 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, you know, got better things to think about. So that's the first thing. The question is just to be deferred. And you save yourself, you know, extra mental overhead. You know what you don't have to think about, you don't have to worry about. It's, why think about something you're not going to do anyway? You know, it's the future. And my next point is, if you are going to get married, the best thing you can do for your married life is to become a strong brahmachari. Because the husband is supposed to be the spiritual master of the wife,
And if you don't have the qualifications to be a spiritual master or a spiritual guide, what the hell are you going to get married for? What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to give? It's like you're going to get up and be the teacher and you don't know anything. Right? So you're supposed to be in charge of somebody, but you're not even in charge of yourself. Then, you know, it's like cheating. It's like, what are you doing? So the best thing you can do, if you're thinking about getting married, is to become a strong brahmachari so that you'll have control of yourself, control of your mind, control of your senses, and you'll have spiritual knowledge so you can give some direction to your wife, your children, people you'll be responsible for. Because the Bhagavatam says, unless you can deliver those people from birth and death, you have no business being a father, being a husband. You're not fit, you're not qualified. That's the first thing. So whether you're getting married or not getting married, first thing is to become a very strong devotee, strong in self-control, strong in spiritual understanding. Best thing. Absolutely best thing.
Excuse me, Maharaj.
Yes, sir. Then, at that future time when there's a cross in the road and you can get married, not get married, there's a lot to be said for skipping the whole thing. Save yourself a lot of money, that's the first thing. What does it cost? Married life, I mean, my goodness, so expensive. Just the cost, you know, figure it out. Apartment. Double everything. You eat, she eats. You need something to wear, she needs something to wear, and hers is more expensive. You know, whatever it is, the basic necessities, at least double. At least. And it's more like triple or quadruple. But anyway, let's say for the sake of argument, double. Even more than double, because, you know, now you can just bomb around in this little school bus. You can go wherever you want. You know, you get married, you have to have an apartment, or you have to have a house. And then you have to have all this, you know, furniture and other stuff that makes the house nice. And you have to buy nice clothes for your wife. And you have to have this and you have to have that. Immediately expensive. And where does that money come from? You have to work. So for the privilege of having a nice face, smiling face to look at, you're working 8 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week. So it's costly. And then children, the cost of children is like, even before you have them, what's the cost of prenatal care, you know, like medical care before the child comes? It's like in the five digits.
Just for childbirth? Huh? Just for childbirth?
I don't think that all of
$10,000 to $15,000 just to have the kid. Huh? Yeah, you're an expense. I mean, all you kids, you cost a lot of money. Well, then you save yourself a lot of money. But if you're not interested in having babies, then there's no why have a wife, right? Purpose of having a household is to have children. If you're not going to have children, skip the trouble. And women are not interested in just getting married and not having children. It's the nature of women, they want children. So you may say, no, I'm just going to be like, it'll be just like before, you know, I'll just kind of like, everything is the same except now I have a wife. No. The wife says, when are we going to have... Wouldn't it be good if we had a baby? And you said, no, too much trouble, too expensive. But, you know, and wear you down. All right. But just one. And it's, the baby has no one to play with. So... there's a lot of expense involved there. And a lot of trouble, actually. There's for a little bit of comfort about trouble. And ask some of my god brothers about it. I mean, I don't know, I'm not married, but all my god brothers tell me it's so much trouble. You know, now I have god brothers who've been married for so many years. And they, you know, they tell me their tales of distress, how much debt they're in, or how hard they have to work, or how much they'd like to be free to go to Mayapur or go to Vrindavan or this, that, or how they're looking forward to when they're 65, when, what is it, Social Security or something kicks in. That means that they would have quit work 15 years ago, but they had to work another 15 years so that Social Security would kick in. And they're stuck. They're stuck. They can't get out. It's like, you know, walking into a, you know, falling through a trap door or something. You know, you can go down, but you can't get out. Or Bhagavatam says a well. You know, you can fall in, but you can't fall out. So it's difficult. And there's so many. And then not only that, but you become attached to it. And now you're, what is it said? Like, you're Rolling Stones. You're free. You, like the air. You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. As soon as you're married, then it's, let's go to such and, well, no, I'd rather go, you know, you're not free anymore. Plus, everything costs twice, let's go, but let's go and spend twice the money. Huh? So your freedom is pinched. Your freedom is pinched. And the attachment is very great. The Bhagavatam says, this attachment is the basic principle of material existence. What are we doing in this material world? What sensible person would come to a place where there's birth and death and old age and disease? You know, if I invite you, let's go over, you know, right across the hall, if we go into the next room, we're all going to die right away. I mean, how many of you would say, yeah? Or old age, you know, you're tired of being...
You'd be surprised,
10 to 20. Yeah.
These kids are unpredictable.
Yeah, well, I can predict that one pretty well, you know, I think so. Or even better, you know, if I say, hey, now you're like 10 or 20, come into the next room and you'll be 85 instantly. You know, nobody's going to say, yeah. You know, we'll have free crutches So what are we doing here? You know, why are we in such a stupid place? It's because of this attachment. Men are attached to women. Women are attached to men. That's the number one attachment. It said that Brahma, after creating the bodies of the living entities, he saw that they weren't sufficiently material attached, so then he divided them up into two sexes. That did the job. That attraction is very tight. Attraction between men and women is very, very strong. And then when they get together, when they marry, when they're connected, then it becomes tighter. And janasya moham yam maham maniti, that like locks in the bodily concept of life. I'm this body, this is my wife, this is my home, these are my children, this is my country. You look at the whole world. I went one time to Yugoslavia or Hungary, I forget which it was, during the communist days. And for those of you who haven't lived through communism, which is most of you, all of you, back in the old days, you know, the communists were like the scary dudes. They had a totalitarian way of life. Everything was controlled by the state, so on and so on. But when I went there to this Russian-controlled country, yeah, I saw everybody's getting on the buses, everybody's going to work, everybody has a house, people are, you know, going to the beach, everything's going on. And, you know, they didn't have political freedom. You go to, like, the shopping district, and there'd be a store, like a clothing store, it would have, like, one dress in the window, one drab dress, and that was it. The stores were, like, mostly empty, and they had some, like, government-produced cheap stuff. You know, it was really, like, who wants to live here? But everything's going on. And I realized, it's why, you know, why aren't people, like, just shooting everybody, you know, rebelling? It's because they have sex. You know, the guy has his wife, the guy has his kids, so he gets on the bus every day, goes to work and does whatever it is and comes back. And what's it all for? It's for sex. That's the making it go. That makes it all worthwhile. The same thing which the mosquito is getting. The dog is getting it, the cat is getting it, the mosquito is getting it, and he's getting it. It's the same happiness, but for that, he's working for his whole life. And missing the real business of life. Forget, you know, political oppression. He's missing the real business of life, spiritual realization. Just for a little 2 minutes happiness. So, Janasya Mohoyam, Bhagavatam says, this is illusion. This is illusion. Some bones and skin and some hair on it and a couple eyebrows and mouth and the rest of it. And we say, this is my wife. And I love her. And so on and so on and so on. On the bodily platform of bodily attraction. But if we skip this whole thing, we save ourselves so much trouble, so much expense, so much time, so much botheration, and so much distraction. So, after you put the whole thing off till you're 25 or something, maybe you'll want to think about it from that point of view. That's the little wrap on that. Is that kind of what you had in mind?
Yes, I need to hear that too.
It's kind of a trap because it looks real good in the beginning and then it's a lot of hard work and trouble at the end. Looks real good in the beginning. Looks so attractive, so nice, so exciting. And at the end it's like a letdown. That's like what they don't show you in the ads. In the advertising, there's always a woman with a beautiful smiling face, and she's so, you know, oh, Jim, that's so wonderful. You know? But the reality is, Jim, you said you're going to do this, and you didn't do that. So much trouble. So, if you can save yourself the trouble, then you're free for chanting Hare Krishna, for reading Bhagavatam, for distributing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, even if you decide to marry, you're prepared. You're in the best possible shape, spiritually speaking, for handling the job. Important because also, the job description is, it's only a 25-year engagement, 25-year gig. It's supposed to be. Marry when you're 25, you know, walk in the door when you're 25, walk out the door when you're 50. That's the program. So when you're 50, then the next ashram is there, Vanaprastha ashram, the retirement. And then after that, sannyas. It's not supposed to be two ashrams, brahmachari and then married life. It's supposed to be brahmachari, married life, and then get out. But those of you know who come from Alachua probably know that there's not a lot of people getting out. Maybe they've forgotten that they're supposed to get out. Maybe they know, but they kind of don't want to. Or maybe they really want to, but it's really hard. Because you still have responsibilities, or you still... I have one godbrother, he'd actually kind of like to get out, but he still has to pay, make payments on his house. I think he's probably going to die before the house gets paid for. So he can't leave his house because he has to pay for it. So, but if you're thinking, or then I just want to met one of my godbrothers, he's like my age, 60, and he's with his wife, his, not his first wife, I don't even think his second or third wife. Anyway, he was with his wife and a little newborn girl. So, you know, he's 60s, it's time to get out, and he's like doing what people do at 25, you know, starting a family. And when he's, when the little girl is like 15, he's going to be 75 if he's still around. And we're supposed to get out when we're 50. So if you never get in, it's just, then you don't have to worry about getting out. But if you're prepared when you walk in, then you might remember when you're 50 that, and actually you have to remember before you're 50, because getting out has to start some years before. Practically by the time you get in, spend a couple of years, and then start thinking about getting out. Or if you think ahead of that, you say, well, I'm going to get in, and then I'm going to have to start thinking about getting out. Maybe I shouldn't even go in to begin with. These thoughts do come to mind. But these are all the things I don't say as much in the Lajra. Yeah. Welcome. We saved you a seat.
Maharaj, you know, us, we should follow our heart and try to listen to Paramatma, but how do you...
Who said follow our heart, try to listen to Paramatma? Go ahead, but how do you...
How do you know when it's Krishna telling you something or if it's just your mind?
Yeah, therefore we don't listen to our Paramatma. Who here has heard from Paramatma lately? Who's gotten the message from Paramatma in the last few weeks? In the last year? Last 5 years?
I'm not sure.
Not sure? Okay. That's good. He doesn't want to be too bold and say, yeah, I heard from Paramatma.
I know me or him talking.
Right. That's how it goes. We do get some inspiration, some ideas, some guidance, some thought, but we don't know. Is this Paramatma or Paramaya? We're not quite sure. And that's the trouble with the heart. The heart is not pure, otherwise we wouldn't be in the material world. So when we follow our heart, we're not quite sure who we're following.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the heart unreliable. Mm. Heart's unreliable. You know, even if you're right 50% of the time, that's actually a pretty bad percentage. And that's a high percentage, but it's a bad one. Therefore, we're not recommended follow the heart. Yeah, the psychologists, you know, the New Age psychologists that say, you should follow your heart, wherever your heart leads you. That's the place to go. Yeah. Baloney. Real thing is, to follow Krishna. And where's Krishna? He's speaking in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So many books, we get to see what Krishna is saying. It's usually quite a lot different from what the heart is saying also, right? Usually the books are saying one thing, the heart's saying the other. But the books are more reliable. Books are more reliable. That's the message of Krishna, or the message of the self-realized sages, the community of self-realized sages who've understood Krishna, who've realized Krishna, coming down through succession. So we rely more on the shastras, on the books. And we rely on the devotees, self-realized devotees, advanced devotees. And we rely on the bona fide spiritual master. Spiritual master is supposed to be the representative of Krishna. So we take direction. We're advised to take direction from the bona fide spiritual master, from the advanced devotees, and from Shastra. Then your direction is good. Then your direction is reliable. The heart, everybody's following their heart. The whole world's following their heart. And where are they going? Yeah. So, when the heart is purified, or when the heart says the same thing, when your heart says, I think I'd like to go out on book distribution, yeah, well, that's approved by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Say, okay, I'm going to do that. Or the heart says something else, you sort of check the heart against the reliable standard, and you say, okay, on this I'll follow my heart. And something else, you say, well, my heart wants telling me X, but the spiritual master is telling me Y. So then, better not to follow the heart. The heart will get you in trouble. The spiritual master is telling me this, and the Shastras are telling me the same thing, and the saintly persons are telling me the same thing. I'll follow that, even though my heart's going the other direction. Heart doesn't always like it. Yeah. It's like, well, a lot of things. You know, I want to do this, but it's better for me to do that. You know, I want to eat this, but the doctor says you got to eat that. I can follow my heart, but if I do, I'll get more sick. And if I follow the doctor's direction, then I'll get healthy, and then I can eat whatever I want when I'm healthy. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. What else?
Anybody have a question?
Yes.
We're all born in the Prabhupada movement, and like it's a real blessing, but like, can you tell us like what it really means to be a devotee and how we can apply it in our lives?
Wow. Big question. What it means to be a devotee and how to apply it in our lives. What do you, do I get some answers from around here? What does it mean to be a devotee? Let's say to be a devotee means to be always trying to please Krishna. To be a non-devotee means I'm always trying to please myself. I want to eat this, I want to drink that, I want to try this, I want to do that. Why do I want it? For me. Or for my family, which means extended, the extensions of myself, extended selfishness. For my family, for my country. It all comes down to me. But a devotee wants to please Krishna. Why should I chant? Because it'll please Krishna. Why should I distribute books? Because it'll please Krishna. Why should I anything? Because it'll please Krishna. Devotee means who's trying to satisfy Krishna. Trying to please Krishna. And how do you apply it? Yeah, chant Hare Krishna. We know that's pleasing to Krishna. But follow the directions of Krishna. You, like I have my assistant, Dr. Andres, who's assisting me. So how does he please me? Does what I ask him to. See? Confirm. He tries. Yeah, even if he may not exactly do everything, but he's trying. And sometimes he even succeeds. So then, yeah, okay, that's it. But if he thinks, well, you know, what happened to this? Well, I wanted to, you know, or, well, there was a, or, well, you know, something just, yeah, I know that you wanted this, but I wanted to do that. But, you know, then what did you come for? What did you come for? Did you do that? Well, yeah, I was going to, but I got distracted by... So when we're busy trying to satisfy our own senses, that's Krishna unconsciousness. And when we're trying to satisfy Krishna, that's Krishna consciousness. How's that?
And And we know what Krishna wants, like by what Prabhupada has told us, like by the books he's given us, and so we go by those as much as we can.
Yeah, you go by Prabhupada's books. Go by the instructions you've received, like you've all received your devotee families, so you've received instructions from your parents about Krishna consciousness, from senior devotees. So from the books, from devotees, from the spiritual master.
I was just reading Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that a devotee is also known as Muni. I was telling you yesterday, is thoughtful. And a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee speculative. That's how Prabhupada puts it.
As thoughtful as the non-devotee speculative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just like this stuff I'm reading. You know, Rasaraj is doing all this stuff which I can't understand because it's all technical stuff. Got all this. Oh my goodness. Thus, in interpreting the observable consequences of one, we should know that what the observable states of M that correspond to its formal quantum mechanical states, something U and something D, are, and expect to see them. However, we currently take the observable states of M to be classically determinate, and so on and so on. Now, I can't even read this stuff. Got an equation here, I don't know what to make of it. Couldn't, you know, whether it's right side up or upside down, I wouldn't know. But he's thinking about these things in the service of Krishna. How to present some ideas within science that will influence scientific thinking in the direction of Krishna consciousness. So that requires deep thinking. That requires deep thinking. So it's not that a devotee doesn't think, but he thinks for Krishna. Thinks for Krishna. Now, we may not be scientists and do that kind of thinking, but you're thinking, how can I do something nice for Krishna? It means the spiritual master says something. Then you have to think, how can I do this? Distribute books. Prabhupada told the devotees, distribute books. Back in 1968. And nobody had any idea, you know, what do? Go to a bookstore and ask them, please sell these books? Or look for a distribution company and pay them something? How do you distribute books? Nobody had any idea, no experience, no. But some devotees tried somehow to distribute books, so Krishna gave them the intelligence, and then so much happened after that. Distribute this way, distribute that way, say this, say that. Go here, go there. So they're thinking, how can I carry out the order of the spiritual master? How can I carry out the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You're thinking. Or put on the Rath Yatra festival. You know, it requires thinking. You have to think how to do that. What kind of exhibits? How do we get them from here to there? How do we get the money? Who should lead the chanting? It all requires thinking. But it's not independent speculative thinking or thinking about sense enjoyment. It's thinking about how to please Krishna. And the more your mind is free from thinking about other things, the more you can focus on that. Mm-hmm. What else? What else? What else? I wonder what other little thoughts are bubbling up. It might just come to the surface.
Why did Krishna make animals?
Why did Krishna make animals? Because some living entities wanted to be animals. Yeah, at least they may get a human form of life next time. They made a start. They took some prasadam. So that's the beginning. They did something in relation to Krishna. So their account has been opened. You know, if you go to a bank, before you can put money in, you have to open an account. start an account. I want to put money in your bank. They say, okay, great, we love to have people put money in our bank. So you make an account, they give you a number, and then you put first $10 in. Then after that, you can put as much as you want. First, you have to open the account. So these people, even say as an animal, now their account is open. They took some prasada. And now they can do something else, something else, something else. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
It says in different places, like with Lord Jagannath's cart, isn't it that just someone seeing him, they get out of the cycle of birth and death?
Mm-hmm.
And like, just by taking prasad, like, people can become liberated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, in other places it says, like, you're conscious, like, you have to be thinking of Krishna at the time of death. So, I guess, like, it's kind of, I can't really tell if it's easy or hard, almost. Like, because it seems like so easy to get out, but then you have to be focused on Krishna, so.
Hmm. One thing about seeing the Rath Yatra festival or just taking prasadam, these things happen. But Prabhupada says it's not that in every case. Not that everyone who sees the Rath Yatra festival is immediately liberated and goes back to Godhead. But it happens. It may not always happen, but it can happen.
Same with like prasad and everything.
Yeah, all of these things where it says that anyone, it means it can happen, although it may not always happen. But it can happen that simply by a little devotional service, one can think of Krishna at the time of death. Like that Ajamil.
Yeah.
You know, he named his son Narayan. He wasn't thinking, well, this is my insurance policy, so at the time of death, I'll... But it so happened. So even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger.
But ultimately, it comes down to the consciousness at the time of death.
Yeah.
And then all this sadhana is basically training for that time, in a sense.
In a sense. It's also for your whole life. But yes, everything's tested, you can say, at the time of death. Yeah, there was a question there.
I was wondering, animals get possessed by demons?
Can animals get possessed by demons?
Yeah, cows. Like cows?
Like cows?
I never seen it.
Possessed by demons. Hmm. They get trapped by demons, you know, all these demons who at the slaughterhouses. But you mean like haunted like that, huh?
Like, yeah.
Well, like they don't want to be.
In the Bible there was such, it's mentioned that such a thing happened, that these demonic spirits went into pigs, right? They went into pigs. So maybe it sometimes happens. It's mentioned there. Not usually. Not the usual thing, but it may sometimes happen.
They try to possess young, strong girls like you.
I have a question about tattoos, because I mean
about tattoos.
Yes, I see some people with like devotional tattoos, that looks good. But my dad has told me my whole life that if you get a tattoo, it's harder for the soul to come out of the body.
I don't know. Guess he looks at all the tattoos on his way out and says, "Well, it's pretty nice. I think I'll stay here." I don't know if it makes it, but generally, people get tattoos, they're thinking in terms of the body. You know, they've got all these tattoo places, and people, you know, their arms are full of tattoos, or they've got a tattoo on their shoulder, or they've got a tattoo on their butt, or they've got a tattoo here, or they've got
a tattoo
on
the forearm.
They get a tattoo, and so these are spiritual, but generally it's material, you know. So it's just another thing, hey, check out my body. You know, my arms, you know, check it out, you know. So it's generally bodily attachment. And if you're the more you're attached to this body, the harder it is for you to, you know, get out and go somewhere transcendental. Now, devotees, okay, they put devotional tattoos. That has a spiritual
target. It's also the intention.
Hmm?
It's also the intention.
Yeah, that's the intention. So something related to Krishna.
We could just be in the bodily platform just as much.
Yeah, you know, hey, check it out.
I got Jagannath.
Hare Krishna. You know, but really you're showing out, you know, that you've been working out. You know, check out the muscles that Hare Krishna's on, you know. So it may still be that old bodily attachment and extend. I want to think about that. Yeah. Yeah, I think you could reliably say that, that, you know, when you're 80, your arm isn't what it used to be, and the tattoo isn't either.
I've heard that when your family members say your mom is like got it, that 2 generations forward and 2 generations back can live later.
Mm. Yeah, you're going to hope that your mom goes so that you can go?
Mom and dad are going.
Your mom and dad are both going to go, so you're going to go on their on their ticket.
There too,
yeah, that's the better deal, you know. Everybody should fly their own plane so that if somebody makes it, everybody else will make it. Don't. And that's usually just liberated. 10 generations liberated means freed from material existence. It doesn't mean necessarily going back to Godhead.
So wait, if you're liberated but not in Godhead, does that just mean Brahmajyoti?
Yeah, Brahmajyoti, or it means you're freed from past sins, but you get to start new ones.
Oh. And so wait. So wait, with the Brahmajyoti, do you eventually have to fall back?
Yep. So don't be loafers and think, well, you know.
My mom
will do it for me. My dad will do it for me.
Or my son.
Or my son, you know, anybody but me. What else? You do. Should we let him ask a question? He's not on the tour.
What do you guys think?
That's cool.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, appreciate it.
Sometimes, especially when you're, I think, a youth in this movie, you hear pastimes of Krishna that aren't in the Bhagavatam that probably never talked about, but that necessarily didn't. It's not that they didn't have it, but they're just not in the Prabhupada. So, how do we take that? Like, does it make sense?
They have to be from some reliable source. It may not be from Bhagavatam or Prabhupada, but if it's from a reliable source, Jiva Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is an example. There are pastimes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita Prabhupada didn't mention, but Sanatana Goswami is a reliable source, so we accept that. Otherwise, there's a lot of stuff that comes like within the Vrindavan rumor category.
Yeah.
You know, you heard it from somebody in Vrindavan.
Stories.
But there's so much stuff. So we should hear things from the authorities.
So how do it's a reliable source. How do we confidently say that it's a reliable source?
You ask him. You know, you heard from Jayadwaita Maharaj some pastime. Maharaj, where's that pastime from?
Or even I'm talking more in the terms of like I've heard. I mean, people have come to me and said, oh, you know. You know, Bhagavatam, how do you know that along the 5,000 years it hasn't been changed?
It's accepted by the Acharyas. It was accepted by Gautama Thakur, accepted by Jiva Goswami, accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. So we accept it. We don't have to go back 5,000 years and do the research. It's accepted by our spiritual master. We accept it.
But couldn't somebody who as a spiritual master in Christianity say, you know, they accept the Bible.
Fine. We're not quarreling. Accept it. What's the problem?
Things have been changed that...
I don't know that things have been changed.
Well, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill.
That's just the Hebrews there. Even if it says, thou shalt not kill, they say, oh, that means kill people. They interpret. But we say, no, it means kill means kill.
What about if they say the Bible says that there's no such thing as reincarnation? Do they accept the Bible?
Bible doesn't say no reincarnation. You may say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus never said there's no reincarnation. Just silent on the topic. So where it's not saying anything, that's where we'll say something.
On the Ratha Yatra, there was one of those like Christian fanatic people, you know, holding up the crazy signs and stuff.
Turn or burn. They come out and do their Jesus Sankirtan once a year when we have the Ratiyatra festival.
They're just as excited as us to go to Ratiyatra.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good thing.
It's good. You know, they're creates some life. It makes the devotees more attractive. Guys look at them and say, oh, God, I wouldn't want to be like those guys.
But yeah, so we were talking to one of them. We were talking about how, like, we accept all religions, but, like, Krishna consciousness kind of gives the full view. And, like, we accept the Bible and the Quran. But his argument was that, like, in, like, the Quran, didn't Muhammad say, like, kill every non-Muslim or something? Like, what was that?
I don't know what he says in there. I haven't read the Quran, to tell you the truth. So I'm not quite sure what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said.
But, yeah, he was saying that, like, just, like, it was too general of a statement. So he says that with commands like that, like, he says that's what supports the religion. Like, at least that religion from Mars. He said, like, we don't worship that God. But didn't Prabhupada say that Allah is, like, another name for Krishna, but, like, the impersonal aspect?
I never heard impersonal aspect. But generally people don't have, in Islam, there's not a clear personal picture as there is. In fact, there are no pictures. Pictures are against the rules. So, anyway, Islam is there, and the Holy Quran is there, but for myself, I think Bhagavad Gita is, from what I've heard, giving more clear understanding. What is the soul? What is God? So many things. Quran is there, but anyway, Quran is there. Probably gave the example of the small dictionary and the big dictionary. The small dictionary is also all right, but the big dictionary tells you more. Not that we say, oh, the small dictionary is no good. Small dictionary is also all right, but it's not as comprehensive as the big dictionary. You get better understanding from the big dictionary. Otherwise, anyone here was thinking of becoming a Muslim? Huh? Krishna Priya, were you thinking of...
No, actually in LA I was talking to a friend who was considering it.
Devotee friend?
Yeah, grew up as a devotee. And I was really attracted to their rigidity, you know, they're like, things just are this way, you know, and hearing that, like, in Christian consciousness, or at least socially, like, there's a lot of, like, gray area.
I agree with him. Social Krishna consciousness can get awfully washy. You know, it can be like, well, you know, very fluid.
Sentimental
and compromised, and yeah, but on the other hand, and Krishna will understand, and, you know, all this kind of wishy-washy stuff. It can definitely be like that, which I don't find very attractive either. But Islam can get like that. I spend some time in the Middle East every year, and yeah, there are some very strict Muslims, and there's all sorts of other things that go on. You see, you know, like Muslims drinking, which is strictly against the Quran. And a lot of other things that are going on that, you know, it's the same sort of compromise. Well, yes, I'm a Muslim, but... And then there's very strict Krishna consciousness also. You can, you know, go find a spiritual master who's like rigid and strict, and, you know, if that's what you're looking for, is discipline, strictness, rigidity, it's available. Maybe not in Alachua, in abundance. Mm-hmm. But there are those who are very strict. Even in Alachua, there are those who are very strict.
Seems like to get the best understanding of Krishna consciousness is to really search within yourself and read Srila Prabhupada's books, because by understanding through social things, and if you get turned off by it, that means that you're not really looking into it.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
You know, it's not just what you see socially going on around you. It's what do the books really say? What do the books really say? And what's, you know, how does that apply to me? That's the real thing, not kind of like, oh, I like this because it's more, you know, it's all brands. What else? Mm.
It, since Krishna created like all humans, then, well, actually everyone, then why do they think that the Krishna consciousness is worshiping a demon?
Like some of the Christian fanatics were saying that during the Rafi after, they said you're worshiping animals or demons or whatever.
Oh, there's a guy holding the cow suit, I think.
Oh, the cow suit guy, yeah, he comes every year. I think in his next life he's going to be, uh-oh. My impression is that they're confused. They know that they're against it, they just don't know what it is. Ever find that? People who are against something and they don't even know what it is? Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you kill an animal, like if you kill an any single animal, does that mean that they're not stop hurting the animal?
Maybe worse. Animal or worse?
What about an insect?
Not good.
Is a sacrifice killing?
Say again?
Sacrifice, is it like killing also?
Sacrifice is legitimate. There are different kinds of killing that's legitimate. You know, like when a king hangs a murderer, that's killing, but that killing is legitimate. Shastra says, yes, the king should do this. Or sacrifices. Trouble is that under the plea of sacrifice, you know, hey, how come you're eating such... Well, we had a sacrifice, you know what I mean? So that's why Lord Buddha came, to stop that kind of hypocrisy. That people wouldn't kill animals in the name of sacrifice just for sense gratification for their tongues.
What if you kill insects by not having the intention for when you walk every day? Does that create bad karma?
It does. Unintentional bad karma.
Is that why you should try to, when you're walking, like maybe instead of just wasting time going to like please your senses, you should be trying to serve or setting up for Rafi Yatra or something?
Yeah, when you're engaged in the service of Krishna and you're chanting Hare Krishna, then even the living entities who die, you're not responsible. You know, like the American soldiers who, you know, kill somebody, they're not arrested because they're acting on behalf of the government. You know, right or wrong, but they're acting on behalf of the government. So the government takes the responsibility. If you're acting on behalf of Krishna, then Krishna takes the responsibility. Otherwise, if it's in your own behalf, you can take it.
What happens if you hurt just hurt them? Do you get karma or do you turn into an animal?
You get bad karma. What you turn into, that we'll find out. But whatever trouble you inflict on others comes back to you.
What about when, like, a mosquito bites you or an ant bites you, the natural instinct is to, like, swat it?
Well, they're considered enemies. When they attack with sharp weapons.
So it's like self-defense.
Yeah, that's like self-defense. You can do it. Better if you can just get rid of them, you know. Not devotees may like to think, you know, I'd rather not kill him, so you just get him off you. Otherwise, still it's considered self-defense. What else? What's your program today?
It's 10:30, so maybe we should...
Yeah, what's your program today, guys? Yeah, I know that. What are you going to do?
Chant and dance.
Chant, dance, and stay warm and eat prasad.
Perform my favorite.
You gotta play?
Yeah.
On stage, we are gonna do a mrudanga demonstration.
Oh, which one?
Mridanga demonstration.
Oh, okay.
With a few of the kids, and then we do a bhajan with the whole gang.
Okay.
And magic.
And magic.
Oh, who's the magician?
Huh?
Oh, I'll have to check it out. Okay, see you out there.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
How do you know? Manifestations of both statistics and particle physics goes beyond this in relative to the coefficient, especially the operators, the coefficients and expansion of the field operating term to complete set of negative particles. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Marge. Nice gang.
A good boy.
Yeah, same. Great program. Very good program.
I wish we had more time to talk, because it takes them a while to like,
open up
and start really asking. They start with like, small questions.
Yeah. Well, maybe if there's free time on the field today or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.